Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. I pray you would bless our time in the Word. And Lord, you just you speak to us that you would have your way in each life and each family and each situation that's here. And Lord, we just give you this time. Pray you have your hand on it. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's football season. Amen. Oh, yeah. First things first. I'm not one to use my platform for personal propaganda, but I'm doing it today. I got this little present right there. I put that right there. That way you guys can look at that all and figure out, you know. I asked this guy the other day, I said, you guys pulling for America's team or for the Cowboys? He was like, no, Cowboys are America's team. I'm like, well, let's think about this for a minute. If New England's all cheaters and all that stuff, I mean, we kind of stole this country, right? What a better representative for the United States than, you know, anyway. That is not today's Bible study. Hey, do you need a Bible? Please raise your hand. We want to get the ushers. Grab one. If your neighbor doesn't have one, you can point them out. Start off the season with a fresh drive. Bring your Bible. Everybody right over there. Hold your hand up high. They'll see you. We're going to be kind of all over the place today. First of all, I wanted to kind of start with and thank you guys for all the support and for the prayers that I know were given so freely to myself and my family during, you know, a very difficult December. Some of you guys may or may not know, our mother passed away first January 1. Out of really nowhere, she had a stomach issue December 6th, and, you know, up to that point was healthy and, you know, just classic 80-year-old woman driving every day and all that stuff. And she had a stomach issue and took her to the ER, and then about 4 hours, 5 hours later, they told us it was pretty much done at that point. And so she had a couple weeks in the hospital and then decided that the doctors were idiots. Let's go home, see if God wants to do something. And so we took her home. We had a couple weeks there in the hospice, and then she passed on January 1. She made it 12 hours into 2017, but, you know, we didn't really get a chance. It all happened so fast. We really didn't get a chance, me and my brother and our family, to kind of panic or worry. We just kind of in the middle of it. Then it seemed like it just as soon as it started, it was over. You know, and I know that the comments, you know, from people are great. I know my mom's in a better place, you know, and I know that there's no more pain where she's at today. And I know that she's far better off where she is now than where she was. I mean, I know all of those things now, but, you know, be a little transparent before you this morning. I'm not sure that I knew all of those things in the middle of it. You guys have suffered that kind of loss. Well, no matter what it is, you know what I'm talking about. There really is no consolation. And like the faith was intact. I'm not saying that. I mean, our faith was where it needed to be. Sometimes it seemed like it was all on my mom, like she had the real faith and my family was a bunch of losers. But we always carried around with us this hope that maybe God was going to do something and, you know, baffle the doctors and all this stuff. And I know he was working his will out in our lives this whole time. I'm not saying we lost touch with those things. I am saying that those statements that are designed to bring peace and comfort, you know, your mom's feeling no pain and she's in a better place, they really fall flat in those times. And, you know, praise God that we have a church body and a church family that really just kind of does what they need to do. You know, I don't remember any of those statements coming out of you guys. I really do appreciate that. You know, you guys did what you needed to do. We were laughing last night with watching the football game about there's something magical about a family that says, hey, man, I'm sorry that you lost your mom. Here's a lasagna. You know, that's really all it takes. Bring me a plate of cookies and then just, you know, go about your business. It's fine. It works. It really is faith. And I know my family is truly thankful in those things. However, I look back on that time, you know, that short time. And now the verses about heaven, comfort. And now the verses about no more pain bring peace. And now on the other side of that event, you know, the enormous amount of joy that I understand about, you know, eternity, those things bring stability now in my life. They really didn't then, but now, boy, they really form a great foundation. And we were talking, I don't even know how you do it. I mean, every one of you at some time or another is going to suffer those losses. I know that, you know, I'm not the only one. That's all of us. We all go through these things. We're all faced with mortality, both from someone in our family who may be younger, someone older, a parent, a brother, a sister. We all face those things. I'm not sure how people do it if they don't have faith, if they don't have a family around them, not just immediate, but a church family, a friend base that can just come over and create welcome diversions and talk about things that are stabilizing. You know, there's no worry in the conversations that we had with all the people here. You know, I was planning on giving this message, you know, December or January 1st. It's kind of the thing. Kind of the first Sunday of the year is traditionally my slot, kind of start the year and get you guys. So now here we are, you know, a couple weeks into January, but the message is still the same. I know the weather didn't cooperate in that time, and we had the Christmas play and all that stuff. But we're going to spend some time today and hopefully maybe recharge a little bit for 2017. I mean, you look around this fellowship and these faces and these lives, I mean, it's really pretty incredible how different we all are. I mean, we all come from these different backgrounds. I mean, completely different. We all come from different places in the country. We all have different lives in front of us. We all have a different job. We all work different hours for different pay. We all live different. We all drive different cars. It's really crazy how different that we are. And we have a lot of common interests. You know, some guys are into sports or other things, and we kind of align in areas through music or whatever. But for the most part, we're completely different. And yet here we are in this context of this building functioning as a single unit. And you think about all the diversity that sits in this sanctuary, really it's just our faith that helps us align that way. Yes, we dress different. Yes, we look different, but we're here today on the exact same page. That's a brilliant marketing strategy if you're the Lord. Create all of this diversity and then bring us together under one common reason. Revelation gives us that reason. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. I mean, that's why we're here, I hope. Amen. You know, not just, well, I hope they have donuts, you know, but we're here because God did a work. God spoke something and something came to light, and then here we are, sitting in these seats, lives changed. But he's worth that time. He's worth the energy it takes to get up. And you wake up and it's kind of drizzly out and rainy out, and you think, well, nah, I got to go. You know, it's not, yay, we get to skip church. We're watching the banners scroll last night during the football game of all these churches skipping out, you know, today. Bunch of Nancys, you know. Like Calvary Chapel Joplin doesn't cancel. Yeah, we cancel church every now and then. But you get my point. But it's like, oh, I don't get to go to church. And, you know, it's not a day off. It's like, oh, I'm kind of missed hanging out with some of you guys. And you know, notice I said some. But anyway, you know, it's a great time. But he's worth our energy to do those things. He's worth the finance that you spend and gift into this fellowship. He's worth those things. He's worth the praise and the honor and the glory. Yes, things may get tough. If you've been around long enough, you know that just being alive can be a weighty task at some times. Waking up with creaks and pains and cricks in your neck and all these things. Things that used to didn't hurt, you know. We live in a fallen world. Stack number two on there. This world is nuts. And it brings us deep and troubling conflicts. You know, intimidating events will befall us as human beings on this planet. Some of those things we can see from a mile away as they come at us. Some things, however, seem to drop out of the clear blue sky, and we find ourselves in the middle of all of this craziness. Sometimes we will suffer severe pain, both physically and mentally, emotional pain. But those things aren't necessarily a bad thing. Yes, they're uncomfortable, and yes, they're unpleasant, and they upset the very balance of our life. I'm not saying that those things aren't that way, but in the end of it all, that kind of pressure, that kind of destruction is thoroughly refining. Fortunately, as we go through these trials as believers, we learn and we stabilize ourselves on we understand it's not just some random series of events in your life. It's not chaos. All of these things are designed with a very specific and eternal purpose. Malachi writes, "Who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? He is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness." And it's so important today that we understand that God loves us way too much to let you just sit the way you are. He wants to do a work. He wants good for us, never evil, always good. There's not a single person on the planet, your family, your spouse, whoever, who wants more success for you than God. And sometimes, because of that desire for you and that love for you, you have to go through a season of tough times. The imperfections have to be brought out. They can't stay in there any longer, and they will bring to the surface in you those things that are unholy, those things that remove you from being 100% sold out to God. God will bring to the top and skim away, leaving nothing but better. And there are many ways God does this. It doesn't have to be through disasters. Don't get me wrong. I mean, those God can grow closer to us, and we can speak through positive things. There are some people who look at the negative as the way that God steers, and only the negative. You know, I've heard those comments. Well, we had a car and it had a flat. We're not supposed to drive that car anymore. I'm like, what about the times it didn't have a flat? Well, that don't count. Well, okay. You know, whatever. You can't always be steered by the negative, because if you get steered by the negative, you have to be steered by the positive, and you just wind up spinning in circles. But the refiner's fire is something different. Yes, I agree, everything happens for a reason. We're not ignorant of that. We know that God is at work. Sometimes God is doing a great work in your life. Sometimes that reason is you just made a stupid mistake. And you put your hands or your feet into areas where you're not supposed to be. And you find yourself separated and all abandoned and in some deep trouble. Either way, God does the work. But today we're really going to look, we're going to stick into that refiner's fire aspect. And it's important to note, it's a refiner's fire, to just know what kind of fire works in our life. A refiner's fire. That makes all of the difference in what we're talking about today. Because a refiner's fire doesn't just destroy and consume indiscriminately all over the place, your life, your possessions, your family, and leave nothing behind like a forest fire. A refiner's fire doesn't just annihilate you and incinerate you and leave you completely without any form and gone. A refiner's fire is designed to do one thing and one thing only. Anybody want to guess? Refine. What is wrong with you people? Is this way up here for you? Because I can bring it way down. It's designed to refine you. It's designed to purify you, period. And just as the fire of a refiner's fire melts that bar of gold or melts that bar of silver and it separates out all of the impurities that ruin its value, it brings those pieces of dirt and debris and impure things to the surface where they can be removed. But notice, they're already in there. It's not like someone took dirt and debris and crammed it inside of the piece of gold. It's already there. It's born with that inside it. It's made with that. It's created. That's like us. We're already loaded with sin. We're born into sin, what the Bible says. And that heat and that pressure will bring it out of you whether you know it's in there or not. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. How two dissimilar things can form a bonded union in the sake of marriage. It's an awesome thing. You know, if you're steel and your wife is aluminum, you both carry intrinsic qualities about you that are brilliant. I mean, steel is flexible. It's malleable. Aluminum is lightweight. It's really quite much stronger than steel. And they both carry with them these awesome qualities. But if you want the best metals, if you want the strongest metals, you have to get an alloy. You have to get part aluminum, part steel in different percentages, and then you really get the best qualities of both. And that doesn't happen in a marriage because you decide to throw aluminum and steel into a room and hope that they just kind of work their way over to each other and things work out for the best and they meld into one complete unit. It happens under fire. It happens under pressure. It happens when both components are broke down to their molecular level, it seems like, and then they're joined together and the union isn't weaker. You know, contrary to what the world says, conflicts and pressure and fire don't weaken you, they strengthen you. They bring out in you the things that are weakening you, and they leave you pure, and they leave you ready to be the person, the created being you were designed to be. But it is fire. Notice that. It's fire. And that level of purity and that level of holiness will not be a pleasant thing when there's fire involved. It's a dangerous thing. We should give it respect. We learned this from the time we were small kids. You don't play with fire. My brother, remember that? We burned that barn down. Remember, Mom was all mad. We burned this big hay barn down playing with fire. He got spanked. I got a sandwich. It's a sore subject. That's the truth. I watched him get beat and I was eating a sandwich the whole time. If you want that kind of fire in your life, if you want that kind of purification in your life, you have to be willing for that fire to come upon you. I mean, your passion for purity and holiness should always be in the forefront of your mind, and it shouldn't be this flippant request. God, just make me holy. We sing that a lot. I want to be holy. I want you to make me pure. And then we wonder why these things are happening. Because you asked for it. You asked for God to come in and do a work and get out of me those things. And man, I'm going to boil you up and get rid of it. And the end of it all, it's going to be brilliant. The upside to this kind of fire, this kind of pressure, is it is a refiner's fire. And the end product is always better. And so it's not just a word of warning. Hey, don't pray for God to make you holy because your life's going to, you know, start to really stink. That's a stupid prayer. Pray that God makes you holy because in the end of it all, He wants you to be holy. The furnace of affliction here in God's family is always, always for refinement. It's never for punishment. It's always for purity. God will churn us up so that we get bigger vision. He'll boil us to the point of nothingness so that we come out of it stronger and able to endure more, not to weakness. And those moments of heat and pressure that I've incurred in my life have never been to my destruction. They've always been God at work, and I'm stable on the backside. And 2016 may not have begun for myself in that forge, but it sure ended that way. And man, I can tell you, standing here today, truthfully, I'm better for it. I'm more stable for it. I'm more reliant in His Word, what He has to say, what He says to do in these situations. I'm better. I've learned more trust. And ultimately, excuse me, I've come to grips with the fact that He really does love me. He really does love us. He really does have our best interest in heart. And like the rest of everything, 2016 has came to an end, and here we are in 2017. And man, I am ready for some freshness. Anybody else? We love fresh, right? You know, fresh vegetables, fresh everything. We spoke Monday night at our college group about starting fresh. And I'm not saying, hey, today we're all going to stand up and make a resolution and promise before the Lord that we're going to do these things. That stuff doesn't work. Go to the gyms about March, and you'll see how big your resolutions last. I mean, January, it's wall to wall. I'm really going to do it this year. I'm gonna get in shape. Then come March, it's just the smoldering ashes of your dreams as you realize this takes a lot of work. And this whole time, I'm just beckoning, come to my side of the fence. It's easier over here. You can have Cheetos and donuts. It's way easier to do this. If you really don't want to change, then there's no change going to happen. I know those feelings, you know, this time of year, as we kind of look at the freshness of the year and everything, you know, it's the best of list. Drive me crazy. The top 100 songs of the 80s. I'm like, what? It's 2017, you know, who cares? Anyway, we always have this, the top 10 this, and the top 100 that, and all this. And then we start all over again, and we start to retabulate all of these stats, and we retabulate all these best of lists. But it's okay, we love that point in our life where we can just kind of have a reason to start over. You know, people tend to accept that in your life if there's a point that you just decide to change that's based around something. That's why we have youth camps. That's why we have women's retreats and men's retreats. That's why we do worship gatherings and prayer nights, so that you have this point in time, this stake, if you will, you can drive in the ground and say, well, I was kind of wayward, or I was having some thoughts or needing some vision. I went to a youth camp. I went to a women's retreat. Man, God really spoke to me. And people just go, man, that's awesome. But somehow if you just say, man, you're different. What happened? It's like, you know, I was eating a McRib the other day. Thought I just changed my life. They go, well, good luck with that, you know. Like, no, I mean, that's, so 2017, January gives us that point, that season where we can be like, you know, this is the year I'm really going to do it. This is the year I'm going to change. Looking back, you know, on the year I've had, and it's been a great year. I mean, it's awesome. And the year that's coming is already lined up. I mean, there's vacation plans in the works, not just for me, but for you guys. You know, the school year is not even over. And we're already planning for it to begin again. You know, hopefully, you know, summer's coming. You know, you got to get your Christmas shopping done. You got to get, you know, Thanksgiving plans made. All those things are getting to repeat in your life. It's an awesome thing. And I realized after these years of just cycling in and out of very different but yet very similar situations over and over, God is pretty faithful. God has kept us in nice patterns that we can accommodate others and help ourselves. If he said it, it's true. It doesn't change because we change. There's no questions. There's no reason that you need to doubt or fear that. If God spoke it, it's true. And I came across this verse in Corinthians, and we were talking to the college group. I love it. Therefore, because of these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Man, what an awesome verse. We have to understand what promises, though, Paul is talking about. You just back up a few verses there in 1 Corinthians. It says, I will dwell with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Man, what a powerful promise for us this year. Underline that in your Bible if it's not. If you have a pen, reach over and underline it in your neighbor's Bible, because they're going to forget it. You know, we need to understand these things. I will dwell in them. You know, we know that God will dwell in us, and not only that, he will walk among us. Where two or more are gathered, he's there. He's in the midst. He's roaming the aisles here this morning. That's unbelievable. That's a promise that will navigate you. That's a promise that will help you in clarity. It will guide you through anything, knowing that only that God lives inside of you, yes, but he's also with you. He's also able to protect you and to guide and to speak. And the peace of knowing that he's really there, even though we don't feel it, but he's still there, is a huge promise. And it's a huge foundational block. And it brings to us stability when we understand this fact. It's not a theological statement. It's a fact that God lives in us and among us. Therefore, because of those things, the most holy God inside of us and alongside of us, therefore, what? Come out from among them, he says. Be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You see, it's not just about resting in a promise and then sitting idle and hoping that God just moves about and does his business and doesn't mess with us. We have to continue. It says to be apart, be separate from the world. Don't mess with those things that God has called unclean. It's not shrimp, by the way. Look up the website. It blew me away. There's a website called GodHatesShrimp.com. They have bumper stickers. It's legit. They quote the verse in Leviticus that talks about you're not supposed to eat all these things. Really? Shrimp is the hinge for your eternal salvation? I know you're a raging alcoholic and you just gave your life to Christ, but you just ate some shrimp, so I'm sorry. You know? They have a bumper sticker that says, God came to die on the cross, not wear a bib. Look it up. I know you're going to look it up. Ken's already looking it up. Put your phone down, Hagen. Pay attention. Ain't nothing on Craigslist right now. People get so caught up in this. And we're not talking about those things that God calls unclean. Yes, in the Old Testament, God said, don't eat this, don't do that, don't have all this stuff. I get it. But he also came as a man. He was born in a manger. We just celebrated that. And he died and he rose again and he tore the veil and he made a way. And he also told Peter, hey, just rise up and go get it. Kill and eat it. It's okay. And so there's different rules for us. We're not bound by the Levitical law. I get all that stuff. And we'll be trapped in there. But there are other things that have came up in the last number of years that ensnared us even worse than shrimp. We become our worst enemies. The same God, we forgot, that doesn't want to be around that sin of the Old Testament. So he made all these rules and he made all these regulations, hoping, knowing that we would fail as men, knowing there's no way we can keep this law. They're going to try. They're going to mess it up. They're going to add all this chaos to it, make it impossible. They're going to twist my words. And then I'm really going to set the plan in motion. I'm going to send my son, erase this entire thing, fulfill the law, and then we have a holy standard that you and myself can copy. It's not about washing hands, not about what you eat. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the same God we serve, the same God that can't be around sin is still alive and well. He's just made a way for us with his son, and yet somehow we have this hope that we can do both, that we can live in the flesh, that we can live and handle and be around those things that are unclean. Like I said, not shrimp and stupid stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. Things that we know the Bible says are off limits. We hope somehow that we can do both, that we can live in the flesh and then turn that off and then live in the spirit when we need to and then turn that off and then willfully walk back and live in the flesh and then wonder, geez, I wonder why God is not really saying something to me or moving in my life like he used to. I wonder if it's me. It is. Isaiah says, hey, it's not that the Lord's hand is shortened, that it can't save. It's not that his ear is heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. So what happens? Not that he can't hear. Notice that. He will not hear. If you want to change, God wants you to change. If you don't, let's just be honest and say, I don't want to change. I'm good where I'm at. And God is fantastic with that. He'll leave you alone. We're not supposed to be that way. God will not refine us and purify us and take us to a spot and bring us to a boil and empty out those things that are horrible in our life just so that we can go back and restock the shelves with more stuff. Somehow, the house that God built has become our house again. And we have got our own rooms. And we have got our own shelves. Now, God still has his place. We got a garage full of stuff. You know what I mean? It becomes our choices. And yes, it's God's house, but, you know, it's just one closet full. We know that God dwells in there. And we know that it's supposed to be his house. We know that it's his work. And yet, we don't really care. We make less and less room as we bring more and more of our stuff in. And Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point. Who lives in you? That's just what we studied about. That's the promise that we have. Whom you have from God, you're not really your own anyway. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, having these promises provides us this motivation, hopefully, this powerful movement to separate ourselves from unbelievers and from the unclean. And this enduring term that Paul uses, beloved, he defines in a moment, in a word, who he's talking to. And we need to understand that. Yes, God loves the world. We understand that. Yes, he speaks to anyone that will hear. The Bible's pretty clear on that. For you are all sons of God in faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you catch all that? Jesus is saying, beloved, hey, I'm not talking about the rest of the world that I love dearly, that I want to come to me. I'm talking about this demographic, the ones who have been baptized into Christ, the ones who are now heirs through the throne, the true sons and daughters of God. You are my beloved. Get yourself right. That's what he's saying. My beloved, cleanse yourself from these things, from the unclean, from the filthiness. God is speaking not to just those who are alive at this point. He is speaking to those of us who are alive in Christ and able to receive this kind of instruction. Now we have to pay close attention given here, because cleanse yourselves from the unclean, yes. Pursue holiness. It's very easy for us to slip into a life that understands fully the grace of God. You can be forgiven for, there's not a single thing you can do. God overlooks those things by a simple request. God, forgive me for those things and move me forward. We understand that. We understand the forgiveness that he's given us over our past, over the things we know are in there, over the things that have slipped through the cracks. We understand all those things. We understand his love for us and how it compels us to go into the world and preach of his love and those kind of things. But we've lost track somehow, in the middle of all of these fundamentals of the faith, on how to be holy, on how to separate ourselves from the world, how to be different, because God wants us to be out from among them. That's what the Bible says. There's two areas of concern that he mentions here in Corinthians. You have to cleanse yourself both from the flesh, the obvious things, and notice there, the spirit. He wants us to be free from the sin and from the immorality and from the filthiness that we will pick up via living in this world, eyes, ears, all that kind of stuff. But in this context, he wants us clean on the inside. He wants us free from false religion. And by false religion, I don't mean worshiping other gods. I mean worshiping yourself. I mean putting things in you that, I know what the Bible says, but I think this. And we begin to say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I say this. That's a God. Because you have no say in those things. And yet we go, well, I know the lie. But really, you are worshiping two gods at one time. And it's not going to be well in the end. And he says, man, completely cleanse yourself. Both from that outward and the inward. Tough stuff. Man, the refiner's fire, though, is not just to remove those things as we navigate in a sinful, fallen world. I mean, you can't be in this world without getting dirty from time to time, unfortunately. And so, yes, there are things that we approach or things that we see or we say or people get on our nerves. Man, those are the easy things. Lord, cleanse me from those things. But, man, there's a cleansing God wants to do inwardly. Anything that we have devised that is not in line with what God says needs to be removed. Any attitudes we have towards the things of God. Man, there's a bunch in there. You start taking inventory. Make a list. No, don't do that. You'll just be discouraged. Just trust that they're in there. Some of this cleansing, though, as implied here in Corinthians, is our responsibility. And that's really where it gets hard. Because there's a cleansing that God does in our lives that He Himself alone, He is the atonement for our sin. He is the cleansing sacrifice that if you believe on Him, the Bible says, and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you will be saved and you are clean before God. There's a cleansing, though, here that Paul says, man, he wants to do. It's in cooperation with us. If you don't want it, fine, you don't get it. But he's willing to go as far as you want to go. But this type of self-cleaning leads to intimacy because it really forces us to search inside of ourselves. Like David said, Lord, would you just look in me and see, search me, because I feel okay, but I just don't. Is there anything in there? Those are tough questions to ask, and it goes well beyond this general cleansing that we need in our daily lives. Lord, forgive me for saying this. Forgive me for doing that. Those are things that, man, you can be forgiven and they're done. We're talking about get rid of those things that just seem to reoccur over and over. We have to trust in Christ. It's on His behalf that He cleans us. That's what 1 John says. If you confess your sins, yes, He's faithful and He's just and He forgives and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And now we're talking about the second type of cleansing that God wants to do, and He wants to look for you to participate. You be an active, willing participant in your own cleansing with the God of the universe. That's unheard of. You know, God wants to do it. It's up to us, and it's not our work apart from God. Don't get me wrong. You can't add to the cross. You can't cleanse yourself. But there are times you have to make effort. The great theologian Clark writes this: how can those expect God to purify their hearts who are continually indulging their eyes, ears, and hands in what is forbidden and in what tends to increase and bring into action all the evil propensities of the soul? In other words, Romans 6, hey, what shall we say, believer? Shall we just continue in sin then so that grace may abound? Paul says, certainly not. God forbid, how can you who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that there are many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the what? In the newness of life. You know, it's terrifying to think that anything that is wrong with you spiritually, you've added to yourself. Anything that you have a problem, we throw this sin nature away, then we walk right back over and we pick it up. It's an unbelievable cycle. And that's not just you guys. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm bringing four back this way. That's the way we function. We have these things in our lives, these stones that stumble us. And we hate them and we trip over them and we throw them as far as we can throw them. God, I can't believe that I stumbled over this stupid fill in the blank, whatever the sin is, whatever the attitude is, whatever the problem is, I can't believe that I stumbled over this. And we grab it and we throw it. And we say, God, take this, and we throw it. But we watch where it lands. Kind of behind me somewhere. And then we pretend like we don't know it's over there. And then we go for a season. And we just walk around hoping that somehow this rock that tripped us is not going to trip us again. And we wind up just circling back around to the same things over and over. That's the way that we live, but that's not the way God wants us to live. God wants us to be free, but when we ingest so much nonsense, it's going to hurt us. And you can't just slow your sinning down and expect to get results. You have to stop it, you know? It's the old joke of the policeman that pulls over the guy and says, man, what'd I do? And the cop says, well, there's a stop sign back there. And the guy was like, yeah, but I slowed down. So the cop grabs him out of the car by the collar and starts punching this guy right in the face. You know, whap, whap, whap. He's like, now, you want me to stop? Or you want me to slow down? You know, there's a big difference in just slowing your sin down. You know, spoon feeding yourself just enough sin so that you'll stay alive. Well, if I don't have my, then I'm going to die. Man, we're such brats with that stuff. We feel like we have to have it. We don't. And that's how I want to kind of wrap this up. You understand that God wants this cleansing. Nobody wants this cleansing more than you. He wants to bring into your life purity and holy, not sin. And we'll never get to the point where we're sinless, you know. We'll never get to the point where we've made it. But that doesn't mean we get to the point where we're content. And we're happy that God has brought us here. Amen. I'm proud of the fact that God has brought me a long ways, but I'm not near there yet. And it's easy to kind of rest and, oh, man, he's done this work and this work. I can maintain this. This is good. Because deep down we know that the next step is really going to be a hard step. You know, it's difficult to stop doing things. It's difficult to stop. We call it, you know, we were nervous eating last night watching the game. We went through like 14 bags of Doritos. We're just nervous watching these games, you know. I mean, this whole town lost their mind like 2 weeks ago because of a donut place. Are you serious? We went, there was like 45-minute wait for a donut. And people were just, man, you got to try one of these donuts. I'm like, it's a donut. And I'm a big fan of donuts. But I'm like, what's the point? People will go to there was ice on the roads, it's dark and rainy, and people were just, I gotta go get a donut. You know, because man, we're so stupid with that stuff. We will sell ourselves out for maple bacon. You guys had one of those, you know? Yeah, I haven't had one. I'm like, I don't want that. I just want a donut, you know, the ones that made this country great, just a glazed donut. That's how this country was formed. Bad donut, bad coffee. We can go on with, you know, now this, they had one that had all, like, what's the cereal? Fruity Pebbles on it. I mean, this is craziness. Ken's like, yeah, that was your favorite, wasn't it? We will sell ourselves out for that stuff. We feel like we have to have it. Man, how much more so does God want us to be that way when it comes to the things that he has set for us? We would have the drive every day, like, you know, I just got to get up and I've got to get my reading time in. Man, I'll deal with the gym. I'll deal with this person. I'll deal with this activity or whatever. I'll deal with it later. If I can't be late to work, I'll just get up early. If I miss it because I overslept, then I'll do it late. But just have that drive to I just got to get this done. You know, how much more so does God want that we would be a people that are marked as his? And people will notice, man, you are just different. What is wrong with you? Well, let me tell you, you know, people should ask, like, man, you have to be a Christian because they should notice those things. You know, I've been around those people and they're like, wow, you go to church? You know what I'm talking about? There's some people that they kind of fly under the radar so much you don't even know that they're Christians. That's not supposed to be us. You know, I pray this year we will be marked. We'll be set apart. We'll be distinct in the way that we act, in the way that we talk. And I'm not asking for these unrealistic goals. You know, you can't just say, well, I'm going to lose 40 pounds by 4 o'clock this afternoon. Unless you plan on chopping the thigh off or something. But don't make stupid stuff like that. Just know that the work is there. The promises don't need to be made. Just do the work. I mean, the reality of it is we're all capable of knowing. You know when you're moving forward. And you know when you're standing still. Nobody else around you may have a clue. But you know what's going on. And you know the real deal. And you know that if you're moving backwards even. And you know if your thoughts are drifting. Everyone around you may look at you, man, you have it all together. But deep down you're like, I am nowhere near where I was or where I need to be. I'm simply asking that, man, if you're doing fantastic right now and this has been a great year or it's carried over from last year, whatever that pattern is, continue that pattern. You know, we're not always about, not everyone in the room can be doing bad, but I'm pretty sure that not everyone in this room can be doing good too. And so if you're having a hard time, you know, if things are bad, not your faith has slipped all the way out the door and you're ready to recall all your faith and go, but you're just not doing something. You know, things could be better. Then receive that today. I mean, the Lord says, if you will, I will. You go, I go. And yes, you can ask for forgiveness. But sometimes we need to pray for that refiner's fire. We need to pray for that purging. That God would bring something in our life, not necessarily crushing and defeating to changes, but God, just show me something that can help me to change. No excuses, No reasoning it out. Well, it's kind of the way we do it, and this is what we've been doing for years. Just make the change. Get rid of those things that aren't godly. And believe me, in my house, they're everywhere. There's all kinds of traps littered everywhere, all over the place. If you leave your house, they're all out there. Just get rid of them. And I know God has a great year. I'm excited about the things coming up. I'm ready for a big dump of snow. You know, I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for family day. I'm ready to go Christmas shopping. I'm ready to do all the things that we just got through doing, because I know that, man, that means God is just faithful and moving forward, and we're all going to get to have some hang time together. What an awesome year it's going to be. But he hasn't placed us in these seats today to come in here as believers, as his beloved, and be lost. And he hasn't placed us as his children to be discouraged. He's put us here for a very lofty purpose, an eternal purpose, to be holy, to be pure, to feel his presence, to understand his love for us truly, because we are so in tune with him. Proverbs 8 says this, and we're all but done. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me, I love this, finds what? Life, and obtains favor from the Lord. Man, I hope that that's our motto for 2017, that we would be set apart. Listen, my children, heed my instructions. Amen. Where's Abby? Oh, I heard a voice. Hey, listen, Abby's going to play one song, and some leaders here, if you are a leader here, you want to make your way up, that's fine. We just need some people down in front that want to pray. Hey, I'm not saying get up and everybody come down and bawl and squall over each other. That's all I'm saying at all. I'm saying if you want to sit in your seat and analyze your heart and let God do a work, that's fantastic. If you want to come down, some of these guys will be down here. They want to pray with you. That's fantastic. I'm just saying you have a song to just chill. It was so nice sometimes just to sit. We went over to the United Gathering the other day. A bunch of us were over there. We were over there for like 3 hours playing. And I just stopped playing during one of the sets. And I was like, I don't want to play drums anymore. And I just sat and just soaked in this. Man, it's so nice. You know, and so if that's you here today and you need this prayer, man, that's why these guys are down here. But I encourage you, don't waste the time as this song is played to just miss out. You know, search me, God, make me right. And man, he does that work, but we have to be willing to take those steps too. Amen. All right.
Good and soul.